Hey, everybody, Andrew Zarin here for MapMen. This is another interview series that we are doing, another episode of our interview series. Today with me, someone that a lot of you guys probably know or maybe don't know, but you do know his website, Raj Geary from WrestlingInc.com. Raj, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Great seeing you again.
It's wild. You know, we've spoken quite a few times, you know, on I think I've done your podcast a couple times where you were on. I've done it when you weren't on. And then we've spoken on the phone a few times. I don't think we've ever done anything on MapMen. And I was going through just like a list of people. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to talk to Raj because you've been covering professional wrestling for a while now. And your website is, you know, for me personally, and this is a little biased, but it's one of my go to's every morning.
Thank you, and we'll
talk about, you know, the concept of the site, but in reality, guys, if you are a fan of professional wrestling and you like to follow the ins and outs, definitely Wrestling Inc. is up there. It's one of the more credible ones. Would you say that, Raj?
Yeah, absolutely. And we also try to keep things, you know, we cover serious stories, but also try to cover fun stuff. I mean, it is pro wrestling that we're covering, so you know.
So I want to get started with some of the basics. I want to know more about you. How did you get started covering professional wrestling? How did you get started in professional wrestling, essentially?
So actually, I've been a pro wrestling fan since I was a kid, since the 80s. And when I was in college in the late 90s, I was in engineering school, and I hated what I was doing. I went to engineering school here in Denver, in Golden, called the Colorado School of Mines, and I was in chemical engineering, just hated it. And the internet was just starting to take off. So I wanted to, and they didn't have any web design courses at my school. So I decided that I just wanted to make a website and just, you know, start learning how to do that. So at least I have a backup. So just one night, my then girlfriend, now wife, she was out of town. So I was like, all right, I'll just take this weekend to dive into this. And I needed a topic, and wrestling was something I've been following forever. And that was it. I just, I'm like, all right. I went to GeoCities. There was this community that used to offer free sites back in the day. Created a site one night, just putting my opinions. And that's what it was at the beginning. It was just, you know, just my opinions. I remember getting like 10 hits that first day, and I was just so jazzed. And, you know, and it just kind of went from there. And it just started building and building. And it ended up becoming way more than a hobby. I started reaching out to wrestlers and starting to get interviews. And I mean, it was exciting. I mean, no matter who it was, I remember interviewing, you know, Bob Ryder, just being nervous and stoked. And
the Bob Ryder, legend.
The Bob Ryder. I think he was my first interview. And then I think Spike Dudley was my first wrestler interview. And
it was, let me just see, jazz. If I were to guess what mine was, that's the wrong camera. That's Muda right there. I have a painting of Muda in my studio. I would say my first wrestling interview was probably Damian Demento.
Oh.
Damien, breaking kayfabe here, Damien and I kind of became friends, and he was a painter. He does these unbelievable paintings, and he had this painting series that he wanted more, I guess, syndication for or attention for. And he asked me if I could help him out, and I said, yeah. And then he came on the show, and we did an angle where he beat me up.
Nice.
And still, how long ago was this? Oh, my God. 10 years ago. And still to this day, I get messages from people constantly telling me that I deserved it. And it's still, I mean, I'm blown away by the fact that people still want to hear about this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. I'm surprised he hasn't done cameos here and there, because he has such a distinct look and was kind of one of the more memorable characters from that era. You know,
I think that's
era.
By choice. I think that's by his choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
So you started off doing the GeoCities. So what got you into professional wrestling?
So my dad used to watch wrestling way back in the day in Oregon. And so, it was a Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant feud that really got me into it. It was two names that I knew, but hadn't really watched. And then I saw an episode of Saturday Night's Main Event, and I was just hooked. And then after that, the Macho Man. When I saw him, and he was just... I mean, he was just beyond out of this world. He's someone, you never meet someone and you're like, oh, that guy reminds me of Randy Savage. He was so unique. So one of a kind. So those characters in WrestleMania 3 just drew me in. And by WrestleMania 4, as a hardcore fan.
So now you've obviously at that point, you've started the GeoCity site. You are now, you know, you've essentially you're starting in with this. So how does it go from just a hobby on some secondary domain site to actually becoming a business of sorts?
Yeah. So I would, So in the beginning, it was just my opinions and, like looking at news and then giving my thoughts on it. And, there was a, what were those called? News groups back then, RSPW.
Yeah.
And I was fairly active, I was fairly active there and people would come to the site and it started to grow and grow. And, you know, back then it was only hundreds of hits a day for a while. And I was like, I need to kind of move this and see what it could become. So I, got my own domain, got Wrestling Inc., started making a website and I made it in Front Page. Actually, this was before I actually started.
What year is this?
This was 1997.
So very early.
1997
on.
Was when Wrestling Inc. like really started.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, you're pretty much dealing with the early days of, right. I'm trying to think 1997. I was going to websites. I was reading about what was happening in professional wrestling, but this is very early on in the era where people would watch Raw, then go to a website to see everything else, all the backstage news and everything that was getting curated or topics that were, or summaries and things like that. Was it a one-man team at that point, or were you getting a contribution from other people?
I was starting to get people emailing me asking if they could help out. So I think in the beginning, it was me for like a year. And then I think I got one other guy who started helping out. And then, by mid 97, I think I had like three people total, including myself. And we just started growing and it was pretty amazing how fast we were growing. So, and I ended up getting a full-time job after I graduated college that spring. And this was actually my passion. I got a web development job, but this was actually, what I was more interested in.
And that's amazing how that turns out, right? When for a lot of people, you kind of fall into your passion as becoming your career, but you don't even know that it's going to lead you in that direction when you're first starting out. It's a hobby at first, and then it kind of blossoms into this amazing thing. Early on, were you getting information from people from within the business? Because I've been doing the podcast for about 6 years at this point, this podcast. But it's interesting how over the last year and a half, our content has shifted more from covering the events to actually having people from within the business sending us information because they enjoy the show. When does that happen for you?
That probably didn't happen really until probably like 10 years later, where we were, consistently getting things. But back then when I first started, I remember like Dana Hall, Scott Hall's wife, had contacted me and we spoke and she was telling me all this stuff and I could tell she just wanted Scott to get on the right path. Scott was going through some issues back then. And it was like the first time I really got insider info and stuff that happened behind the scenes. But I just felt like I couldn't post that. It was, from one source. But I remember after that being like, oh, this is something that, I can start getting more into. But then the wrestling site became more of a side thing. I had started another website, which became kind of my full-time gig until I sold it. And once I sold that, I went full in with Wrestling Inc.
What were you doing prior? What was the side thing? Do you not talk about it?
No, I do. Okay. I'd started an Indian dating site.
Okay.
Me and a buddy of mine. Yeah. And, it was IndianDating.com. We would do singles events all over the country. It was an online dating site. We reached over 1 million members and it was a blast. We had a ton of fun doing that. I would do the wrestling site too. So it was weird wearing those two hats.
But you know what though? They kind of go hand in hand, right? You got to still, manage a website and you still have to admin stuff. It's not
right.
They kind of go together in a weird connection. So you now you sell your business and now you're essentially this is your bread and butter. This is your business. Do you change any way that you were structuring things because now it's become a 10 years later or whatever? It's become a major thing now, right?
Yeah. Our traffic, we'd been one of the top websites since probably since like 99. But a lot of that responsibility I had put on other writers. And as far as where it was my full 100%, it's probably been like since 2007, where I was really focusing, you know, 100% on it, even though in 2007, I still had the other site, but I started kind of managing both 50-50. And I had also had an MMA site then. So it was managing those. But yeah, it's I'd say about 12 years I've been like really, you know, super focused and managing all aspects. I mean, obviously now it's way busier with podcasts and video, and we do more interviews now than we've ever done before. I mean, we probably do like 6 interviews a week at least. And yeah, it's between writing, managing writers, handling advertising, I still do all the coding on the site. So everything on the site, it's not a CMS, it's not WordPress, it's all custom coded. So one of these days I'm going to have to move because it's just getting to be too much.
Well, but the problem is when you do that, you're kind of going down the rabbit hole of not being able to kind of easily migrate everything.
Right.
So it becomes a full-time job of its own. So
yeah,
I kind of want to ask you about, over the last couple of weeks, I mean, with WrestleMania here, I ran into a lot of people that cover professional wrestling as a career. And there are moments that, you know, you get information and you have to make a decision. Like you said, with Scott Hall's wife, you made a decision that you don't feel comfortable with this. How do you personally decide? I mean, obviously some of that is morals and your own opinion. Like, we get stuff all the time that we don't talk about, but at times you get stuff that's not personal and it's more of a business thing. How do you decide when and how to report on something?
Well, it varies. You know, like some of our recent exclusives, like there was one, the incident with Arn Anderson was one that we recently covered. And that was one that a lot of wrestlers didn't want to talk about. So, you know, it was one of those things where it was hard to get a second source when we finally did and we were able to confirm it. It was like 2 weeks that it took before we finally broke that from when we initially heard about it. So it's one of those things we want to make sure it's 100% accurate. We get confirmation. Anything that we post as a site exclusive has been confirmed by a second source. And usually we try to do more than two. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot with wrestling is you do get a lot of people sending you stuff that has an agenda. And so trying to go through it, you know, if someone's saying something that's bad about one company, you still want to get comment from the other, you know, that company, see if it's true. So yeah, I mean, there's so many different types of stories with wrestling. And so it's kind of like you just kind of handle each one differently.
Yeah. And I was asked about, something that wasn't reported. Right. But I knew that it happened, and the person knew that I knew, and this is over WrestleMania weekend. And he goes, how come you didn't talk about this? And I go, I didn't think it was my place. It wasn't my place. I don't report the news. It just comes up and then I'll discuss it on the show. But it wasn't my place to say something because it could affect multiple people. So, I mean, that's my gauge. I don't want it to impact anybody in a negative way. We're reporting something. But with that said, you know, you're not only competing with other legitimate, you know, pro wrestling websites, but now you're also competing with those secondary and third rate sites. Does that impact how you report things as a positive and negative? Do you think it has a negative impact on all, you know, essentially just your business model when you have these off brands? I don't want to name anybody, but you have these other types of news sites that are essentially manipulating words to dictate a narrative.
Yeah, and that is kind of a growing issue. I mean, you'll see news stories that are trending on Twitter and things where, you know, you ask around and you find out it's not true. And I hate doing story. Every now and then I'll do a story where I'm like rumor killer on this. And it sucks because you're kind of letting a lot of people that hadn't heard the rumor hear the rumor. And so it is tough right now because there are a lot of sites that spread stories that aren't true. And you know, we just kind of, you know, with our staff, you know, it's like stay out of it. If it's something that we feel like we need to clear up because it is trending and it's not true, and we know it's not true, and you know, we've been able to confirm it by several sources that it's not true, then we might step in, but we try to just stay out of what those other sites do.
How many stories are you guys writing a week, essentially? It has to be.
This week. This week is a little crazy.
This week, of course.
I'd say we probably average like 20, 25 per day.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of those are minor items. Usually when we have several minor items, we just put them together in one post as opposed to each one is its own. So, you know, appearances, things like that. Someone's tweeting something amusing or, like I said, it is pro wrestling. We don't take ourselves too seriously, except when we are covering something that's serious. So, you know, if Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey are going back and forth on Twitter, that's something that, it's not an in-depth article or anything. It doesn't take too much time, but yeah. So it's wrestling. It varies.
So to kind of go based on that too, because I'm always fascinated with how other legitimate websites cover this and the thought process. You started off in essentially the boom period, right? In the Attitude Era. That's when you started covering professional wrestling. So there was an abundant amount of information. There's also an abundant amount of misinformation that was coming out. In the early days, I remember reading these stories. I remember following. One thing that comes to mind is who was the higher power, right? That was a moment in internet history. If you're old enough, if you followed wrestling sites, every day there was a different person from Jake the Snake Roberts to Ted DiBiase. Endless brother love. Chris Daniels, yeah. Cyrus, right. there was a ridiculous amount of people messaging and posting about this. And that was fun for me as a 16-year-old to kind of follow that stuff. But right now we're entering another period that we have not seen happen, where we have a multitude of companies to cover. We have a secondary brand that, and TNA was what it was, but it was not a brand in the sense that what AEW possibly could be. So now we're going into this weird moment where for you, it has to be kind of a deja vu where now you have two major brands to cover with major TV deals. How do you think this impacts how you, for lack of a better term, how you start covering things again?
So you're talking about AEW and WWE?
Yeah. I mean, is it going to shift the way that wrestling coverage is done as a whole for you or in general?
I think this is the closest I've really seen it to being to what it's like back in 99, in the 90s, as far as
98, 99, 2000.
Yeah, exactly. As when WCW was hot, when WWE was hot, or, when I started, WWE was still, they're getting their butts kicked and, we're really reeling. But this is the first time it's felt close to that. It's not there, but it's the closest that it's been to that, as far as you're seeing, top talent, where it's like a realistic move for them to leave WWE and go to this new company that's funded by a billionaire, which is, the TV deal is kind of one of those, I think a lot of it in the media had heard, but everything I was told was off the record. Now it's just coming out this week. But that's a big, if that happens, that's a big deal. We have not seen another organization on that level with that kind of exposure. Obviously, with that comes a need to perform, as far as because, these TV stations are averaging over 1 million viewers in prime time. And that's when pro wrestling is declining in popularity, that's tough to get. I'm confident that they'll probably be able to, but this is the first time where you're seeing talent looking at another company as as not just a viable alternative, but a more desirable alternative in terms of schedule and things like that.
And that kind of leads into the chatter, right? And I'm seeing it more and more now over the last, you know, maybe 6 months, 2019. I'm hearing from current talent that are speaking, you know, are speaking about their unhappiness. And right. That's kind of reminiscent of how it used to be. You know, you would have people complaining and be upset and reaching out and writing. But I'm very fascinated by this because now you are back in that position of do I take this person's side in the story? How would I report this? How would I even word it in a way that it's not a one-sided view, right?
Right.
As as a senior editor of something or just editing and making sure that your credibility lasts, because we're also in the business of wrestlers kind of working the journalists. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, there are some very top journalists, maybe the top journalist out there, who gets a lot of heat for his coverage of, you know, like AEW and things. And New Japan, it's just one of those things, that balancing act, you know, with social media, with our comment section, we have the most active comment section of any
tremendous
website.
Comment section, by the way. I'm looking at a post that you did yesterday, 186 comments on Drew McIntyre on SmackDown. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're active. And if you mess something up, if you have a typo or something, they jump on you. But yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes when you report something and if it feels like it's favorable to someone else, you know, people jump on that now. They're like, oh, you're supporting them or you're doing this. But I mean, a lot of times that's just the truth. When you're reporting on like for instance, the AEW TV deal and that it is likely. And this is, you know, months ago before it came out who it might be, you know, people like to jump on that and saying, you know, you're just feeding into this new organization because when, you know, when we're out there covering it and interviewing these guys, then, you know, again, they feel like, well, you're not interviewing WWE guys. It's like, well, we would if WWE allowed access.
I got the same thing yesterday. I got yelled at yesterday by some guy. We had Chris Masters on the show a couple, 2 weeks ago. So we interviewed him and some guy goes, why can't you get Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose on the show? and I'm like, listen, man, it doesn't work like that. They're not going to come on my show.
You're not turning Roman Reigns down.
listen, no way. Except if it's a Snickers deal, because we get those Snickers promotional, oh, yeah. You know, the satellite tours that they do. We get those, which they're always terrible. But, right. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. But for, you know, the other here's something interesting. And we're probably covering. We cover as fans, and I think you have to be a fan to do coverage of professional wrestling. So you also have to kind of pull yourself back from the excitement of what you feel, because you can't show that much emotion when you're covering it, because then you lose a little bit of integrity with your coverage because you're excited about it, but you still have to show some sort of importance, you know. I constantly have that dilemma when I'm talking about a product compared to writing about it.
Right.
It has to be a fine line that you have to walk constantly, right?
Yeah, and that was actually one of the reasons I didn't want to do a podcast for a while, because I did not want to really put my opinions out there. You know, just, you know, the site, you get the news, and you don't hear from me. I'm kind of in the background. And then, you know, we started doing it, and it's one of the, and now they're out there, and I am critical where it needs to be. And I'll praise something if it, you know, if there's something good, but yeah, there is that fine line. And seeing wrestling, watching wrestling for as long as I have, and just seeing what works and what doesn't, and seeing the, like right now, the decline in popularity, it's real. I know people want to talk about, people are watching wrestling in different ways, and that is true. But as far as overall popularity, it is declining. And to talk about that and look at segments and be like, well, this made no sense. Like, and, you know, this guy was starting to get really over, and then they're being brought down, and just bring that up. And you get people jumping, you know, on that thing, you're taking sides, and it's not, and, you know, it's a tough balance a lot of times.
It's a tremendous balance, especially if you've been covering it for so many years and you've seen the good and you've seen the bad.
Right.
You know, especially in your case, covering it for, you know, since 1997. I was curious to ask you, what would you say was the over 20 years? Geez, 1997 was 20. Geez, I cannot believe
22
that.
Years.
22 years ago. I am starting to feel really old, man.
Yeah,
two kids,
me too.
I'm feeling it. With covering this for 22 years, what would you say was the biggest story you've had to cover?
Oh, Benoit.
Tops WCW, right? And I've had this discussion. It has to top the purchase of WCW.
WCW was it was a game changer. It changed wrestling more than anything else. But as far as the insanity of covering something, those few weeks of covering Benoit with WCW is kind of one of those things where it happened all of a sudden, you know, like the sale had been, you know, going on with Bischoff and Fusion for, you know, a while. And then for it to go to WWE, for it to actually be finalized, the finalization and going through went through really quick. So it wasn't like months of dragging it out. It was like, it happened, boom, and it's done. Whereas Benoit, that was just that was intense. That was hard to cover, and that was the hardest one to cover.
I think emotionally too, right? Because he was always portrayed as by coverage, right? You know, we when we talk about Chris Benoit, we have to. I mean, obviously, what he did was heinous and it's terrible and all this, but we also have this memory of him being this unbelievable fundamental professional wrestler. And the epitome of professional wrestling for the fan. So now what an emotional conflict it is to have to discuss this man's career and also discuss that heinous, terrible act that he committed. It's a very conflicting moment, right? For you, because you did those media appearances and you covered it exponentially every day, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first time where I was really, you know, contacting the police department, trying to get information, you know, before that, I don't think I would contact the police directly. I think that was, or maybe with Eddie, I think. It was tough, man, especially cause there was a young kid involved. I mean, I still can't watch Benoit matches. And
I haven't gone back. No, I tried to watch the WrestleMania 20 match and I had a very difficult time because all you could see now is those media headlines and the breaking news and the moment. You know, I could go back to that moment and remember when I read what happened.
Right.
And it still doesn't make, and I'm not saying it in a conspiracy theory way, obviously, but it doesn't make sense. You know, none of it can ever make sense, and it doesn't make sense, and it's terrible. But it's for some people, it's easier to disconnect. For me, I don't. Maybe I'm a little bit more of an emotional person and I react on my emotions, but like you said, it's difficult to go back and have to analyze things that he has contributed to professional wrestling.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are times when I was talking with someone about the Brett Benoit match, you know, in Owen's honor on Nitro. I was talking with someone about it. It was probably like 6 months ago. I was like, all right, I should go back and watch this. And then I just couldn't do it when I you know, actually sat down. I was like, I don't know. It just brings back all those memories. And, you know,
as someone that covers it, do you think that was a major game changer to the way that professional wrestling is operated? Do you, as far as a overall impact, the murder suicide of Chris Benoit, how has it affected, as far as you as a journalist and a website owner, the changes that you've seen in wrestling? How has that impacted, in your opinion?
I think it's been great. As far as the changes that have been made, as far as the wellness policy, how seriously they're taking it now. You could tell just looking at the guys how different wrestling is today than it was before. I do worry. I still, you know, that John Oliver had that piece a couple weeks ago. The biggest thing for me, I think, is with how much money the company's making, I do want to see them move in that direction as far as providing health insurance and 401ks and things like that. I think that's the next step. And then also reducing that schedule. That schedule is killer. And I think that's one thing with, if AEW does take off, I think WWE will have to, because that's where AEW gets really attractive, where you're not on the road. I mean, you look at these 4 day a week schedules, but that also includes a travel day, you know, so it's almost the whole week, just constant back and forth and then going out there and performing. So it's changed so much for the better. I still think there's a long way to go.
A tremendous way to go. I think the report was something around $20 to $30 million annual cost, right, for the WWE to offer the wrestlers, a benefit. I don't know what the benefits exactly were, but to offer some, right, sort of health,
it's like
coverage,
covering hotel,
yeah,
meals.
And it's crazy to think they don't. I mean, really, but I, you know, independent contractors, right?
Yeah, that's. There is that, but yeah, I mean, next week they'll be, I mean, next year they'll be bringing in over $1 billion a year. So, they can afford to make those changes.
Absolutely. Before we wrap it up, I kind of want to get more information about what you're doing, because you have, and by the way, tell Glenn I said hello. I absolutely love Glenn. I adore Glenn. My path with Glenn, it goes from technology, really. He was an ad guy at a company that competed with my podcast, and we kind of became friends. So we have a lot of mutual friends in the tech field. And then I had no idea that he was a wrestling fan until he started doing a podcast with you, which I think is awesome.
I was looking for a host, because I'm not host material. So he was trying to sell some ads on our podcast, and I was talking to him. I was like, man, you know, we disagree on a lot of things, but I kind of like that, you know, kind of having a different voice and everything. And we have Matt Morgan as well, who wrestled with WWE and TNA. And so it was three very different schools of thought. And then Glenn, he's fun to do the podcast with.
I have called Glenn drunk numerous times, actually, many times, after, and just ranting and raving about something that has nothing to do with wrestling. So he's a good dude for sure. So you have expanded into podcasting and video stuff. Where do you see that going for you? Do you think that's the future of your business? Essentially, not the business model, but as far as Wrestling Inc. goes, do you think that more video is necessary, or where do you see this headed as far as wrestling coverage?
Yeah, that's where it does seem like it's headed. You know, I think people, you see the younger people more and more, they're watching stuff on their phones as opposed to reading, you know, social media tweets, watching. So video content, things like that. So I definitely think it's moving in that direction. I'm a little older school. I like reading. I hate videos popping up everywhere when I go to a website, but that is kind of the direction it's going. So we are, you know, I'm always trying to go with the times. And so we're experimenting with it. If it works, if it looks like it's getting popular, then, you know, we're going to keep going with it. And so far it has. Our video content's been doing fairly well. It doesn't get near the amount of views as an article does, but it is something that is catching on, and you see that kind of everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a combination of everything, in my opinion. I think you need to, right, do a little of everything, right? Social media and the website and the forums and all this stuff. Raj, I had a great time talking to you. I'd love to do this again. Maybe we can make this into a regular thing when you come on Mat Men and we talk about wrestling. But I kind of love to get the backstory of people that cover this and are involved with the business, because you've been here for 22 years covering professional wrestling. It's a testament of the success of your website, because people don't last 22 years in this business, especially with coverage of the business. You see a lot of fly-by night sites. You see a lot of just random clickbaity headlines, which you guys don't really do anything in that capacity. The fact that you guys have such integrity with the site and the coverage of the site, it speaks a lot about how you look at professional wrestling. So you should be very proud of that, and your team is great.
Thank you, I much appreciate it.
Other than obviously wrestlinginc.com, where people could go and follow and check out your social media, where else can people get information?
I mean, we're all over. You could, my personal Twitter is RajGary303. The Wrestling Inc. Twitter is at Wrestling Inc. YouTube at Wrestling Inc. We have all our videos up there. Instagram, Facebook, all at Wrestling Inc. So, you know, check those out there. And, you know, with all those, there's different content on each. Definitely check that out. And you know, obviously the site as often as you can, because we have stories probably going up a couple an hour at least.
And there's no more. There's no mailable newsletter that you sent, right? No mailable.
No. No mail.
I think that's the future of wrestling, by the way. I think we need to go back to the newsletter.
It's going to come full circle.
You know what?
Just putting stamps all night.
I'm going to tell you something. I had a meeting with somebody in the marketing business, and they're saying how print is coming back up because of all the noise on digital. So, listen, we might get a Wrestling Inc. newsletter one day.
Hey,
it may happen. Maybe after your 32nd year anniversary, it'll come full circle to that. Amazing. Yeah. Raj, thank you for coming on, man. I really enjoy this. And guys, if you want more information, obviously, WrestlingInc.com. If you enjoy these interviews, check us out. Matt Men Podcasts on YouTube, or everywhere podcasts are available. And, of course, our website, GFKNetwork.com. Until next time, guys. See ya.